Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. There's so many ways you could listen to the DA show. Check us out across the hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also, listen to us on Sirius XM, channel 206. And listen to us by streaming us on your phone. The radio.com app is where to go. You can also listen to us on our stream on the website, cbssportsradio.com. Or watch us. Go to watchda.com or also check out our Twitch channel at CBS Sports Radio to watch the simulcast every single morning. The meme has been delivered. Check it out on Twitter at DA on CBS or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. If you've been with us all week long, it'll make sense. If not, we will interpret it for you coming up here. It's like an Easter egg hunt every Friday with Cap, the Wizard of Watch DA's Photoshop skills. We'll do that coming up in a few minutes. But first, in Houston, Deshaun Watson met with David Culley this week. Okay, this is good. New head coach. Culley is known as a real even-keeled guy. Everybody respects him. He's not a hothead like Bill O'Brien. This is great. This could help squash some of the bad feelings. Can turn down the temperature in Houston. Deshaun Watson just may find some common ground. Culley's a grandfatherly-like figure. This is perfect. Culley even said with his opening press conference that he took the job because he intends Deshaun Watson to be a starting quarterback. And according to reports, didn't matter. Oh, man. So close. Apparently, Deshaun Watson told David Culley he's not suiting up for the Texans. So can anything save Deshaun in Houston? Not if Deshaun is officially broken, and I think the only thing that can help this situation, and I don't even know if it would solve the situation, is to fire the problem. The problem is Jockey Jack, Jack the Quack, Jack Easterby. He is, all signs point to him being the issue. Is Cal McNair also part of the problem? Of course, because Cal McNair is entrusting Jack the Quack. But let's just follow the evidence here. Deshaun Watson last year signed an extension with the Houston Texans. And he saw Cal McNair taking over for his father as the owner. So it can't just be about Cal McNair. maybe things have changed between Deshaun Watson's perception of Cal McNair from when he signed that extension, but he knew that Cal McNair was going to be the acting owner. He knew that. So what changed? Here's the evidence. Since Deshaun Watson signed his extension, Jack the Quack has been elevated to the number one advisor to Cal McNair and is ostensibly running the franchise. That's the fact, Jack. The fact is, Jack Easterby has elevated himself multiple times. And when they needed to hire a GM and a head coach, they ignored, I say they being Cal McNair, the Texans ignored the input of Deshaun Watson, the input of Jamie Roots, the team president, ignored the input of the search firm, and under cover of darkness, when Deshaun Watson was on vacation, took Jack the Quack's advice, hired Nick Caserio, and that was it. Now, it's weird because Nick Caserio might end up being a very good GM. I mean, he's got a lot of respect built around the league, had been in New England for a long time, and I think there's people that really believe that Caserio was due for his own GM job. But the way that it went down and why it went down poisoned the water for Deshaun Watson. And I'll bring this up again. Andre Johnson was the first great Houston Texan. One day, he's probably going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Andre Johnson never had a crossword about anybody. Andre Johnson was low-key. Low-key. Didn't get into it with people through the media. Didn't call anybody out like his coaching staff or his quarterback or his owner or anything like that. Never demanded a trade. Andre Johnson, yes, at the end of his career, had some friction with Bill O'Brien, but the way that he handled his business was almost always under the radar and with class. And the people that got to know Andre behind the scenes would always say, that guy is all class. Andre Johnson, the type of guy that just cuts a check for all the kids in Houston to have supermarket sweeps at Christmas. Go through Toys R Us, pick out whatever you want, kids. It's on me. Because I didn't have a great Christmas growing up. I want you to have a great Christmas. That's the type of guy Andre Johnson is. And Andre Johnson, by the way, never tweets. Okay, he's had a Twitter account for years. The only thing he does, and probably it's his business manager or PR person or agent, is retweets his events or his TV appearances. That's the only thing his Twitter account's ever used for. Except one tweet in which he said, nothing good has happened since Jack Easterby has taken over the Texans. Oh, really? Huh. Now that's notable from Andre Johnson as the only tweet in 2 years. That's notable. This is all about Easterby. And if Cal McNair wants to save Deshaun Watson, he should do a very easy thing. I don't care if he is best buds with the team chaplain, wannabe GM. You can find another Jack the Quack. I know. I've seen a stand-up. You can't find another Deshaun Watson. So Cal McNair should go to Deshaun and say, Deshaun, we want you here. If I fire Jack Easterby, will you stay? And look, maybe Deshaun Watson says no. I don't know. Maybe enough water's under the bridge now where he says yes, but maybe it's like no. Nope. Doesn't matter. I see how this thing works, and I can't trust you. And I don't blame Deshaun Watson for that. The rats are fleeing the ship. The team president just suddenly resigns because he wants to do more speaking engagements. Okay, we had John McClain, Houston Chronicle, join us a couple weeks ago. He has covered the Texans since their inception and said that Jamie Roots got frustrated with the decision-making at the top and said, I'm out of here. He was there since they were an expansion team. Saw Jack Easterby, rise to the ranks and said, I'm out of here. So that's another guy that fled. J.J. Watt wants just a flat-out release, doesn't want to be around. He fled. Deshaun Watson wants out. He's trying to flee. The common theme here is that nobody trusts Jack the Quack. So there's only one solution here if you want to save Deshaun Watson, and that's fire Jack Easterby. But that might not even be enough. That might not be enough. I think the Texans are going to try to play hardball. I don't think they're going to try to trade him before the draft. I think they're going to try to see out this standoff up until the summer and into the season. And that's maybe where we'll finally get some clarity. But I don't think he's going to get traded before next month's draft. I say next month as though it's almost already March, but April's draft. I don't think he's going to get traded before then because I think the Texans are going to try to play hardball with him. But boy, I mean, how broken must this relationship be when Deshaun Watson sits down with David Culley and says, look, sorry, man. It's not about you. It's about them. I can't play here anymore. It's about them. Then you've really set fire to the organization if your franchise QB won't even allow the discussion with his head coach to alter how he feels because he feels so burned by this whole thing. Cal McNair's being sold a bill of goods from Jack Easterby, and it's sad. It's sad. It's sad how some people can be just mentally and emotionally manipulated, which is what is happening. Cal McNair's being manipulated by Jack Easterby and doesn't see it. Doesn't realize it. And everybody else does. And everybody else is telling him what is happening, and he can't see it. You think I bang the drum on firing Jack Easterby? You should hear what happens at Houston. I mean, every single day, every caller to Sports Talk Radio says fire Jack Easterby. They want to have a protest outside the Texans' offices to fire Jack Easterby, fans do. You should read some Reddit boards for Texans fans. All it is fire Jack Easterby. He knows. Cal McNair knows. He can't be that sheltered. He knows. He knows everybody in town hates Easterby's guts. And we played a stand-up here. Oh, God, is it bad. Yeah, the team chaplain, wannabe stand-up, you know, thinks he's Chris Rock. Let me tell you about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson. Easterby's so bad. Awful. Total chump. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I feel for Mraz. He's been out for the last week, and so he sees today's target demo graphic made by the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, and is completely in the dark, doesn't know, doesn't get the references. How does that feel?
It is very hurtful. It feels like I just showed up to a party and everybody's ready to leave and I have a fresh 12-pack here and it stinks. I see a fat guy with bears. I don't know what's going on here.
You know, do you remember back in school if you like took a week off for vacation, but it wasn't like winter break or summer vacation or something, and you would come back and all your friends would have their own jokes and they would have all these references that you don't get. And you're like, oh man, what did I miss? I wish I got that joke.
Yeah.
That's what it must feel like for you.
Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. I was gone 1 week and I felt like I kept decent enough tabs on the show. I couldn't obviously listen all 4 hours every day, but I felt like, you know, whether it was via Twitter or a segment here or there, I kind of had an idea what was going on. But then I get blindsided with this Target demo meme, and I have absolutely zero clue. And I even came back today. I didn't even take the full week to the weekend. I'm back today, and I still don't know what's going on.
Well, I have to say, this must be how some of our listeners feel. Like, if you're not listening every single day, you just don't get the joke the next day. And if you miss an entire week, forget it. What are you seeing from the Target demo meme? How would you interpret this?
Well, I'm seeing Cap using the famous face of me with the eyebrows that he's put a Bucks mask over, and it's me walking through an airport, which I guess I did. So, okay, that was Tampa. I'm seeing I thought it was Andy Gresh with a wizard hat on, sitting on in an outhouse. It's some fat guy there with the Target thing on him and a gas mask, which I don't know if we're going back to the draft day stuff. And there's two bears howling, and then some nice wooded area. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so I think you with the Buccaneers mask with the roll away through an airport, that might be Ted Cruz. I'm not sure.
Oh, but, with the Cancun trip? We escaped in the ice storm?
But I think it's just you returning home from this trip. What okay. is behind you in the wooded area, that's bogus. That's bogus with his what? Wizard of Watch DA wizard hat on. That's the
I'm Andrew
that
Bogus.
That's the wizard. That's the graphic that we use for bogus on the updates.
Oh, okay. Wow, he gained some weight since I've been gone, I see.
And he is sitting in an outhouse with a he's holding a target with an arrow, and that's because stunned to a news yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Was in Alaska, a woman went to an outhouse in Alaska to use, of course, the latrine, and she got bit on the bottom dollar by a bear. There was a bear living in or got into the outhouse and came up from the bottom of the toilet and either scratched her rump or bit her rump, and it became a whole thing. And we were saying what type of nightmare fuel that would be, how terrifying it would be if your bear bottom got bit by a bear
poo-poo butt
in an outhouse.
Well, it would scar me from ever wanting to go to the bathroom
yeah.
again.
Right.
Now, an outhouse, is that more, I haven't used one, is that more porta potty? Because I can't imagine a bear being like a snake and fitting through some plumbing, right? No, are they just like no. sitting in some kind of cesspool underneath and he comes up for air and bites you in the bum-bum?
Yeah, so a porta-john obviously is sealed on all sides, and so a bear couldn't fit in there. But an outhouse is a little larger, and an outhouse is kind of like wooden, and I think what they thought was the bear might have dug a hole underneath or gone through a hole or something underneath the back and was in the doo-doo area and was maybe down there, became a doo-doo cake bear.
Oh, and that's a Teddy Graham.
And was waiting underneath and was upset that somebody was trying to do business on top of their heads.
How bad was the bite? Not to rehash. Like,
well,
was there bloodshed?
There was blood, but it couldn't have been that bad of a bite because it didn't take a chunk of flesh out of it. So it was either a nip by the bear, like okay. an annoyance nip, or a scratch. I think it could have been a scratch to a big bear paw.
Okay. All right. Boy, bear's a butt guy, huh?
Baby got back.
All right, bear, so that's where we're at.
Bear mix a lot. Flat buttocks.
Boy, it brings new meaning to bear ass, huh?
Yeah, so that's the reference on Twitter at DA on CBS or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Leave your commentary there for Target Demo Friday. So a lot to get to this morning here on the DA Show. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Too much fun with audio.
That's for sure.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's for sure. March Madness is right around the corner, and this weekend CBS has two full days of College Hoops triple headers. The action starts tomorrow, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with a battle in the Big 12, Texas and Texas Tech. Then on Sunday, three more games capped off with a late afternoon Big Ten showdown when Iowa takes on Ohio State. Six College Hoops games this week, and beginning tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, the road to the Final Four is on CBS.
CBS is spectacular, yeah!
Appreciate you being with us. Good Friday to you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up, Lisa Ramos is going to join us. A newly minted member of Bill's Mafia. She has joined us in the past as a model, influencer, and TV personality. She has helped us dress both producer Shep and Jacob Wilkins better in the Extreme Jakeover segment. She's going to join us top of the hour. Also, Layla Rahimi is going to join us. She's awesome in Chicago on The Score. sports radio there to talk about these Russell Wilson Chicago Bears connections, as Russ says the Bears are one of the teams he would be willing to be traded to. And then coming up, Adam Kaufman, top of the final hour on the mess in Boston. So that should be a lot of fun. David tweets in, yuck, suck ass show. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Yuck. Right.
Diarrhea.
Maybe you've never seen Lisa Ramos. Yuck. This is a P.U. This show stinks.
Yeah.
P.U. Whereas when you see these Russell Wilson rumors, stories, all about how he wants out in Seattle, do you think that the Seahawks absolutely have to trade Russ now?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Number one, if you ever it get that bad where you have to make a decision between franchise quarterback with plenty of years left, seemingly in a very good to great career, or a 70-year-old head coach, I think it's pretty easy to determine what the problem would be and who you would keep. So I don't think there's any way you get Russell Wilson. If it got that bad, you get rid of Pete Carroll. Secondly, and I think it was Bogus might have mentioned this earlier, or it might have been Rappaport in the cold open, the $40 million cap hit upon trading him you'd have to absorb would completely cripple you financially, and we're still trying to figure out exactly where the salary cap is, too. My big fear, I think, with all of this, when you see the Russell Wilson story come out, and obviously everything that's happened with Sean Watson, and it seems very warranted when you see what's happened to J.J. Watt, and as you mentioned, Andre Johnson talk about it. But everybody, all these peers, seeing what happened with Tom Brady when he left Bill Belichick and how successful he was in recruiting Gronk and Antonio Brown going to win a Super Bowl, I just really hope that this isn't the tea leaves in the beginning of the NFL becoming, you know, basically allowing the players to run themselves the way the NBA seemingly has and jump from team to team and form whatever they can. I think the salary cap restrictions are a little different, and hopefully it'll prevent that. But, man, I just hope that Russell Wilson doesn't see what's happening with Watson, didn't see what happened with Brady, and is basically going public with a lot of this now, trying to, I guess, get his, if you will. Just, it's worked in Seattle, Russ. You've gone to two Super Bowls. If Pete Carroll's got to go, if it got that bad, that's one thing. Don't force your way out.
Yeah, I think you're right about that guaranteed money and the cap hit. If they trade him, if he's not on the roster, it's a monster cap hit. So why would the Seahawks want to do that? Doesn't seem to make any sense. I think Russell Wilson is trying to make noise so that he gets more control over, say, in who they draft, who they sign, etc. This is why he's doing it now, because it's ahead of free agency and ahead of the draft. But do I see him getting moved this year, this offseason? No. To your point of the Tom Brady thing, it's so misplaced. It is so misplaced for all of these guys to want the Tom Brady, you know, that deal. Why? Brady never had that deal in New England. It took him 20 years, yep, 6 Super Bowl championships, 9 Super Bowl appearances, being crowned the greatest of all time, before he ever got that control. And he only got that control in Tampa Bay because the Buccaneers were willing to bend over backwards to go from 7-9 to win a Super Bowl. And even the Buccaneers, Bruce Arians and Jason Light, said his control over things is overblown. It looks like Tom Brady has control because he brought in Gronk and brought in AB. That's what it looks like. It's two guys that were relatively cheap. It's two guys. He didn't draft Mike Evans. He didn't draft Chris Godwin. He didn't do any of that. Gronk is his best buddy. Gronk was retired, and Gronk just didn't want to play for the Patriots anymore. But we had Camille Kostick, his girlfriend, on 2 weeks ago. She said he always wanted to come back to play football. He was just waiting for the right situation. So Brady made the right call because he knew Gronk. And AB, they didn't even need Antonio Brown to win the Super Bowl. They could have won it without AB. Okay, so Brady got his way on AB, but that's not building a roster. And right. Also, Tom Brady had a running game. He had Jones. He had Fournette. They knew they had to be able to also establish the run. Brady was very understanding of that. The fact that Russell Wilson is bucking against running the football in Seattle, I mean, how many times does he have to throw for him to think that they're throwing enough?
Right.
Okay, you want a little bit more of a control over the ratio of pass to run. That's fine. But don't act like Tom Brady's out there throwing 70 times a game. You want the Tom Brady treatment. You haven't earned it. He doesn't have that much control over what happened. He had two saves. And he doesn't throw more than Russell Wilson does. I mean, it's just like Russell Wilson, that's the part that's so delusional to me about what he wants out of this.
And Russell Wilson can have all that say in the offense all he wants. Is his defense going to be good enough to hold Patrick Mahomes to 9 points in a Super Bowl, too?
Right, exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into this.
Yeah, and Tom Brady also didn't turn the football over 7 times in 2 weeks. Like, Pete Carroll saw that and said, hey, Russ, you want to be throwing this much, but if you throw 4 interceptions in a game, that's not helping us. Tom Brady doesn't do that. So Russ wants the control and the respect that Brady has, but he's not as good as Tom Brady. And, yeah, this Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, wants more control over the say of things, and now we have the Russell Wilson thing. That feels like you don't want the NFL to turn into that, where every quarterback, if he doesn't get his way, just wants out. But all of these guys have to recognize, you're not Tom Brady. You're not. You don't get that. Brady got that after even in year 19 in New England, he didn't have that. So stop saying, I want the Tom Brady thing. Like, okay, go win 6 Super Bowls, and then in year 20 of your career, we'll give that to you. Until then, shut up. I mean, come on. All right, standing by with your headlines is Andrew Bogish this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning, guys. We begin right there. It appears to be unlikely the Seahawks actually do trade Russell Wilson, but that speculation ain't going anywhere anytime soon. Wilson's agent, Mark Rogers, said yesterday they have not demanded a trade, but if one becomes necessary, they'd like to go to Dallas, New Orleans, Vegas, or Chicago. Wilson does have a full no-trade clause, and there is that issue of $39 million in dead space on their cap if they were to trade him. Deshaun Watson reportedly met last Friday with new Texans head coach David Culley and said again he wants to be traded. Houston is apparently not answering the phone right now if you call about their quarterback. Another game,
what if you text
another
them
win.
Bogus? Will they answer a text?
I don't think there are no forms of communication, no DMs, no IMs, no nothing. Maybe if you go and knock on their door, they'd have to be courteous enough to listen to you, but maybe that's the only thing that would work.
You're getting the DJ Tommy D treatment. Sorry, we're not answering the phone call, bud.
Yeah, Pete's also on their switchboard. Once he's done with us, he goes down to Houston. Another game, another win for the Brooklyn Nets, 129-92 over the Magic last night. That's 8 in a row for Steve Nash's team.
A big part of it is our group's bonding. You know, they're growing together. They're starting to feel success, and roles are, you know, showing up, and you can sense it out there that they're having more fun, that they're connected offensively and defensively, that they have a lot more poise together.
8 games is their longest win streak since moving to Brooklyn. It's a 4-game run for the Bucks after a 129-125 victory over the Pelicans. Giannis scored 38. The Sixers took care of the Mavs, 111-97. The Clippers losing in Memphis, 122-94. The Knicks hammered the Kings, 140-121. And the Wizards escape Denver, 112-110. Washington has won 6 of 7. T-Wolves guard Malik Beasley suspended 12 games without pay after pleading guilty to threatening people outside his house with a gun. Police eventually found more guns and drugs inside the house. Beasley's plea deal got rid of a drug charge. He'll lose $1.1 million in salary because of this. College Hoops, number 1 Gonzaga stayed perfect, 89-75 over Santa Clara. The Zags have now won 50 consecutive home games. Wow. Third-ranked Michigan down number 9 Iowa, 79-57. Fourth-ranked Ohio State losing at Michigan State, 71-67. And number 12 Houston roughed up Western Kentucky, 81-57. Tiger Woods has been transferred, probably on Wednesday night, to Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. And on ice last night, Chicago blanked Columbus 2-0. The Sens took down the Flames 6-1, and the Islanders dumped the Bruins 7-2. Boston has 4 regulation losses losses this season, three of them to those Islanders.
Really?
And one last time this week, we're stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, let me welcome Sean back from vacation with a stunned suggested by his good buddy, the man you just mentioned, DJ Tommy D, sent this one in today.
Okay.
He takes us down under for something like a follow-up to that Texas woman who tackled a would-be peeping Tom outside her home recently. This time, we have a woman described as a grandmother, but there's no age of her in the story. But so let's assume she's on the older side of the spectrum. A man snatched her purse off her table at a bar and took off. They then proceeded to have a fairly slow-motion chase. This wasn't Don Beebe running down Leon Lett. It was more like one Leon running down another Leon Lett. Grandma did get the guy down from behind, dragged him to the asphalt. They wrestled a bit. He lost his shirt, which almost got him free of her. She got her purse back and then actually threw his flip-flop at him, which I think explains the slow chase, as he was getting in his truck to drive away. He was eventually tracked down and arrested. She, by the way, on top of getting her purse back, was left with broken ribs and cuts and bruises from the open field tackle on this guy. So she paid the price to get her purse back, but she got her purse back.
So while the Texas mom definitely was a solid form tackle, no penalty on the play, the grandma, it's a horse collar. She comes up from behind. She grabs the back of his neck and yanks him down. It is a horse collar tackle, but she tackles the ball carrier, gets him down, prevents the touchdown, and that's big. And the best part about this is she catches him from behind, swings him down. He tries to get back up, and she holds on to his shirt, and he can't get away. And so they are then wrestling, as you said, for the purse, and she gets the purse. So she wins the dog pile. The ball is loose underneath the pile, and she is the one that comes up with it. This is a huge win. I love the mom in Texas, and I love the grandma in Australia that did this. She's also in flip-flops, right? Or he's in flip-flops, and she's in some type of sandals or something. Like, neither one of them has great running shoes on, so a grandma with sandals chases down her would-be thief, wrestles away the purse, and drags him to the ground. That guy should be humiliated and embarrassed forever. Grandma wins the challenge.
Yeah, and also terrible target, if you ask me. Yes, she might not be able to catch you if that's what you're thinking. But what are you hoping to get out of that purse? Some old Werther's Originals and maybe the checkbook she uses at the supermarket? What amount of cash does he think a grandmother is going to have in that purse that is worth the chase down or worth any kind of penalty in snatching said purse? The purse itself might be worth more than anything in the purse.
Well, maybe there's just not a lot of loose purses anymore hanging around at bars. And so when you see one, you got to take advantage of it.
But there's nothing in there. We've got basically plastic here at this point, too. I can't imagine whatever the Australian currency has. Maybe it's kangaroo nickels. I don't know. I can't imagine. There's a ton of them in her purse.
Okay, so what would
you also
be...
need to...
Go ahead, AB.
Well, I was going to say, you also need to do a self-evaluation. If you're about to steal the purse, you got to look down and go, I'm wearing flip-flops. My escape's going to be an issue here. So maybe I should go switch into some sneakers or just wait till next time when I have the proper footwear on to be a thief.
This grandma is sitting on the pavement. She has her purse, and she ends up with his flip-flop in her hand and just tosses it at him. Like, here you go, you slug. Take your flip-flop back, you pathetic piece of garbage. I got my purse. Like, it's so dismissive. But, Mraz, what is your target then going to be? Who are you going to look to target for a pickpocket?
Well, I think it's got to be somebody you think with stable income that might be at the bar spending cash. I'm looking for anybody of any gender between, I would say, the ages of 30 to 50. I think that's a good wheelhouse to assume, all right, maybe they're out. They probably at this point have established enough income that they maybe are going to spend a little cash at a bar. Maybe somebody not with their significant other because they don't want the debit charges being shown on their bank account. Mm-hmm. You have to really think in depth. I think when you're going older person there, I mean, a couple singles, maybe write out the thing in a check. As I said, a lot of hard candies.
Kangaroo
like
nickels.
Yeah, I just think it's a bad target. It's an easy target in essence that you think you'll get away. It's a bad target for what you will get out of the purse.
There's also three different times this guy gets humiliated. Number one, he gets chased down by a grandma from behind. Okay, so he's very bad in the open field. Number two, she's strong enough to A, pull him to the ground, and B, win the tussle. He's not even strong enough to win pulling the purse away. So she wins the strength competition. And then three, she tosses the flip-flop in his direction. You've lost the foot race. You've lost the purse. And she's like, and take your flip-flop back as well, punk. I mean, that guy, 0 for 3.
Basically, the grandma became Antoine Winfield taunting Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl.
She put up the peace sign right in his face. And then she backflipped like Tyreek Hill back into the bar. Excellent. When we come back here on the DA show, what is going on with the Celtics and can they be fixed? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I wanted to be wrong. I so badly wanted someone to walk in and go, you know, you really blew it on the DA show.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
45 minutes past the hour. DA with you on a Target Demo Friday. Go to the meme of Bogish in an outhouse with bears surrounding him. And let us know how you're listening and where you are and if bears and outhouses are nightmare fuel. That's on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. On the phones, Jeff is in Kansas City here on CBS Sports Radio. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, man. Good morning to you all. I just want to comment. There's no penalty on the horse collar. Let me explain why.
Okay.
Dude came in and forced a fumble. He took the purse, right?
Yeah.
And the lady came back because he never secured it and horse collared him, right, and got the ball back. There's no penalty, my friend. That's a good play.
Okay.
Have a good one, man.
You too, bud. Nice job. Jeff in Kansas City is basically our eye in the sky, our Gene Steratore. All right, we're going to go to Jeff in Kansas City in the booth. Jeff, what do you see on this play? DA, got to tell you, it's not a penalty from where I'm sitting here. Remember, the thief forces the fumble, but the grandma gets the ball back. And so in a case like this, it is not a horse collar tackle. She recovered the fumble. Possession, old lady. Thank you, Jeff. Back down to the field. First and 10 for the old lady from the bar. Jeff is our Mike Pereira on old lady fumbles. So in Boston, the Celtics had big expectations this year. Jason Tatum taking the next step. Jaylen Brown taking the next step. Kemba Walker in an Eastern Conference that feels kind of wide open. The Sixers coming into the season obviously had a lot of questions. The Bucks had flamed out in the playoffs the last 2 years. The Nets were a complete unknown, and we didn't even realized they would have James Harden by the end of the season. So the Celtics had designs on finally winning or at least getting to an NBA Finals with this group of players. They've been to three Eastern Conference Finals in the last 4 years, but have flamed out against LeBron, against Kawhi, and last year against the Heat. But now they're 2 games under .500, and this week has been really humiliating. They blew a 24-point lead to the Mavericks, which was just a disaster. They've been just pathetic over the last couple of, or the two step back daggers by Luka Doncic and blowing the big lead before that. It's just been a disaster, one disaster after another. And Danny Ainge has taken to the airwaves in Boston and said it's on him. It's on his roster construction. It's not of the coach. It's not of the players. It's on Danny Ainge. And part of that is true, that the roster itself, aside from the two young guys, is thin. okay? And Kemba Walker's acquisition, which last year was lauded as a brilliant move, doesn't look brilliant at all because his knee is a problem and he's owed a lot of money and doesn't really help you if Kemba Walker can't play if he's only in there once every couple of games, no matter how good his chemistry is or attitude, what have you. And they let Gordon Hayward walk, and Gordon Hayward's playing like an all-star in Charlotte, so that looks bad. And as I've said earlier in the week, you know, Danny Ainge hurts himself because Danny always wants to be the smartest guy in the room. To make a trade, he always wants to win the trade in a big way. He wants to swing an embarrassing deal on the other side so that he really sticks it to you. And that was defined by the trade with the Brooklyn Nets many years ago with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Danny Ainge doesn't want to just make a deal. He wants to win the deal and win it in embarrassing fashion. And so teams are not willing to do deals with him as much. Whenever somebody does a deal with the Celtics, they are worried that they're going to be embarrassed and look like they got hoodwinked, so they don't want to do a deal. And this is now, you know, Danny Ainge, when he was a player, was like this as well. He was an agitator. He thought he was always the smartest guy on the floor. He was a guy that a lot of people around the league hated for his smugness, his arrogance, seemingly. And it has followed Danny into his personnel career. I mean, the guy's been there for nearly 20 years. He has one championship. He's been there for 20 years. He's been to two NBA finals. His teams have been to two NBA finals. So Danny, you know, let's face it, he's got a lot to prove here in terms of, can he build a winnable roster? Can he have the right coach? And can he actually get it done in the NBA that values the star and the superstar more than, you know, just putting together a good roster and hoping that you make it through the playoffs every year? You know, ultimately, you kind of keep smacking your head on the elite talent. And so, yes, Danny's roster certainly deserves some blame. But I would also say not many teams have the luxury of two all-stars entering their prime in Tatum and Brown, and the Celtics are two games under 500. You know, Danny wants to defend those guys. Well, they, you know, more scrutiny is on them. They've got to do it all themselves. Well, all right. Now you got to do it yourself. Those guys are supposed to be stars. They're all stars. You got two of them. It's not like the cupboard is bare. Most teams would love to have those two all-stars. And for Brad Stevens, I mean, when you're blowing 24-point leads and the team is not responding and you're getting blown out the next night, you know, Brad Stevens also has a lot to be desired. And I think he gets a lot of love from the media because he seems to be this really smart, diplomatic guy that always says the right things, has a pretty decent sense of humor. And so people like to buy into the, this is a brilliant hire from Butler. He, look what he did at Butler. Now you have him in the NBA. This is such a smart hire. When in reality, I don't know if he's a great coach, as I've said before. And I get pushback sometimes because he's got this great reputation. Is Brad Stevens a great coach? I mean, it's hard to make that argument when he's got this team two games under 500 and they are definitely not responding to him. So I think there's a lot of blame to go around. We'll do more of this coming up a little over an hour from now with Adam Kaufman, who's a Celtics insider for WBZ in Boston. But I think it's a little too simplified to just say, well, it's just the roster. Roster's not good enough. Just not good enough. I think there's a lot of culprits here for the Celtics. And when there's a lot of culprits, it means it's not a simple solution. Danny could try to make a move at the deadline, but is that going to make them a title contender? Is Brad Stevens finally, suddenly going to get the ear of these guys? And the most likely thing is that Brown and Tatum figure out how to carry more of the weight and they win. And those guys go to the next level because those guys have that ability. But, you know, at some point you got to say, yeah, they've got to do it. They've got to do it on the floor because they're the stars and they got to figure out a way to do it. This year with the Nets, if it was only Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden wasn't there, Would we say that the Nets didn't have enough talent? We'd say, no, you got KD, you got Kyrie, figure it out. And if they were two games under 500, we'd look at the coach and say, Steve Nash, you're not getting it done. When we come back here on the show, mothership favorite Lisa Ramos is going to join us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.